If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Hello and welcome back to The Moments That Made Me with me, your host, Roxy Nafusi. Today we have a very, very special episode and I am joined in the studio today with the absolutely incredible Debbie Frank. Debbie is a world-renowned astrologer who was personal astrologer to the late Princess Diana. She is also a life healer with intuitive astrology and a shamanic homeopath and teacher. She has written numerous books, including Written in the Stars and her latest book, What's Your Soul Sign? I was lucky enough to have a reading with Debbie when I was pregnant with Wolf, and I was completely blown away. In fact, she actually predicted the exact day that Wolf would be born. Today, we're going to discuss the difference between horoscopes and star signs, how we can use astrology in our own self-development journeys, Mercury retrograde, and what is a Saturn return. I am so excited to be sitting down with Debbie.
Hi! Oh, Roxy, it's so lovely to see you again.
Oh my God, I'm literally buzzing. I feel like my energy just completely shifts when I'm around you. I'm so happy.
All the stars come out.
It really does. How are you? You've just released your new book.
Yes.
And we were just saying you've been crazy with that, right?
Crazy with that. I mean, Hay House are fabulous with their publicity. So it's good in a good way. I'm super busy promoting What's Your Soul Sign? And I'm really enjoying it because it's here in the UK plus in the US. So I'm getting two bites at the cherry and lots of different audience. And what I love about astrology, of course, is it appeals to everyone globally and all age groups. That's what's so fantastic, but particularly millennials and even Gen Z. Yeah. They're just so into it. They're all over it. So it's fantastic.
Absolutely. So let's start with what is the difference between a horoscope and a star sign? Because sometimes when you say astrology, people automatically think of daily horoscopes. But for me, what I'm really interested in is our kind of personality types, how we connect with other star signs, because I really believe in that.
Totally.
You know, and so, yeah, so what is the difference?
Well, it's very interesting that, you know, horoscopes, in fact, get perhaps a bad rap in a way, because people say, well, how can 1/12 of the population all have the same thing happening, right? But I think that these horoscopes, whether they're daily, weekly or monthly, they kind of capture a sort of vibe on the street, as it were. And it's a bit like a weather forecast. So it's a bit like generally the astrological weather is like this. But obviously, when you have your own chart done, and I've brought your chart along again, Roxy, you know, you get all the positions of all the planets. That's when it's made up for your time of birth, your place of birth. And then you get your rising sign. You get all this very important information, which you can discover through my book, What's Your Soul Sign? Exactly what each position means. So then you get a very detailed look about relationships, relationship patterns. You can even see, you know, what was going on in your childhood. I think we discussed that once, Roxy, didn't we?
Yeah.
And career paths, your talents, your gifts, your challenges. Everybody has a celestial blueprint and it's like a celestial DNA. So understanding what that is and perhaps what your soul intended for you It's not so much that, you know, the universe is all fated and everything is predestined and pre-written in the stars. It's like, no, you co-created this. You decided in this lifetime, I would really love to experience, you know, more of a creative personality and soul development. So we come in with a sort of frequency, if you like, or a predisposition that that's what we're going to attract. But then we also do retain, of course, our free will. So it's up to us. We have the choice whether we want to stay stuck with certain challenges or whether we're going to work through them. And, you know, I think it's super important to recognize that we are here to grow and develop, which again, millennials and Gen Z really get that. Mm. So perhaps less stuck than any other generation. And I really feel that, you know, just being able to know that we have co-created certain situations or relationships, that they were meant to be, because actually it's not that it's all fabulous, but that we were meant to learn something from it. Yeah. And that if we keep on learning, keep on with that attitude, then as they say in India, everything is perfect, right? Mm. We stop judging it and feeling hard done by, and we start to get more curious about our lives. Like, why is this going on? Mm. What am I attracting? And it really sort of syncs with the law of attraction, because we are attracting via our frequencies that are revealed in the birth chart. But the horoscopes, I have been a media astrologer for many years. I've written for many publications. Currently, I'm writing for Hello Magazine online every week. And obviously, I do a horoscope on my website, debbiefrank.com. And I think that it's great. And I read other people's horoscopes too, because, you know, I like to see, you know, what's their take on it, what's going on. And, you know, this also gives us a steer on, you know, what's happening in terms of politics and, you know, things like COVID. I mean, for instance, I saw COVID coming, you know, in 2016 when I was looking at my ephemeris. I'm like, what is that? I can see lining up, you know, in early 2020.
What could you see?
Well, you could see this very unusual lineup of Saturn, Pluto and Mercury. And it was so uncompromising. It was just so debilitating for the status quo. And I knew it was global. I knew it was very fear-based. So it's about, you see, astrology describes the emotional frequency or energy, perhaps, rather right. than the exact circumstances. So I'm like, oh, is it going to be a war? You know, what is it going to be that affects everyone? And it's going to totally alter the structure of our society on that wow. level. And then, you know, obviously on an individual and personal level too. So I could see it, but funnily enough, well, it wasn't funny, but, you know, I was every year I'm asked by the tabloids to do the royal predictions. So I was very busy and I actually predicted Megxit, right? So I was busy in January 2020. And I'm like, yes, around Kate's birthday, there's an eclipse and there's going to be an announcement. And, you know, Harry and Meghan are going to be a power couple in their own right. So I was quite distracted with that.
Yeah.
But I knew also that that was another kind of manifestation of the old status quo kind of crumbling. Because at the time, that was just kind of pre-COVID. It was kind of unthinkable that anybody would leave the royal family like that. So there's been so many challenges to the whole setup, and so it continues. So this really is fascinating. And I think, you know, astrology is a very ancient system of navigation and understanding, and, you know, everything is connected to it. It's not separated from us. It is, you know, part of us. It's what we live within. It's not just the stars up there.
Yeah. Oh my God, my jaw is like on the floor. Like, it's incredible.
It's not.
And, you know, as someone who, you know, I'm very manifesting is how I sort of live and breathe through manifesting. And I think this is exactly aligned with that, this idea that, you know, my dad even used to say to me when I was younger, it's like there's a radio frequency, and us as humans, we kind of are in touch with one frequency, but there's so many others.
Absolutely.
And I think astrology really is about that. It's just this different energies and...
Exactly. And the thing is that, you know, science, which actually kind of, you know, threw astrology into the realm of nonsense because it's not evidence-based and it can't be proved. Or interesting. interestingly, just as an aside, these French scientists in the 1970s, a married couple, the Gauquelins, set out to once and for all disprove astrology. And they did this massive survey and they ended up proving astrology. It was so amazing with their findings. They found that politicians, sportsmen, writers had particular significators in their charts.
Wow.
And so that was a real aha moment, but that was way back then. But I think what's fascinating now is the quantum field, because scientists are really at the cutting edge now of frequencies. I mean, they can take blood from somebody and take it to another location. So it's in two locations at once. And you can start to do something with the blood in the petri dish in one area, and the blood miles away will also respond to what they're doing. So they're starting to see the connections, wow, that things don't have to be visible before your eyes in one place, that frequencies exist.
Oh, but that makes sense.
I mean,
soulmates.
Isn't it so interesting? Yeah, it's so fantastic. With soulmates, that's why we're connected, because we are connected.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting. I was just listening to this today. I mean, I haven't quite got my head around it, but on the news, I was listening to the fact that the NHS track and trace is beeping somebody who lives next door to someone else who's tested positive. And they're kind of thinking, oh, that's because they are physically next door. But I'm thinking, oh, well, maybe they're just living in the frequency of the COVID, right?
So yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. So it is. And we're just, you know, in this really exciting time. It's such a great time to be alive,
yeah,
because, you know, there's so much discovery and sort of openness now that there wasn't before.
Absolutely.
And I love scientists like Dr. Joe Dispenza and people like that, Greg Braden, and, you know, because and Dr. David Hamilton, who also writes for my publishing house, Hay House. And, you know, it's really all about these energies and how we can put these energies out. And then scientists can actually track and trace what's going on with you biologically. So it's starting to really add up on a number of different levels.
Incredible.
This is astrology.
I love this. So we touched on the royal family just now.
Yeah.
And you were the personal astrologer of the late Princess Diana.
Yes.
So how did that come about?
Well, it must have been written in the stars looking back on it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's kind of something that came into my life. It's not something you can apply for that job, you know, it's not something you can look for. But through a client that I already had seen for a number of years, she was quite close to Diana, and she felt that Diana was getting advice from other, shall we say, soothsayers or whatever, that was really quite negative. And she would prefer for Diana to meet somebody more around her own age. Yes, I am that old. But at the time, I was quite young. And, you know, kind of, I have a more gentle approach, which you know about, Roxy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, looking at, you know, what we can learn from things. So she was given my phone number. I still didn't believe she would ever phone me. And then one day, I'm just in my house and on the landline. This is pre-mobile phone days. In 1989, the phone rang and this voice said, oh, hello, is that Debbie? This is Diana here. And, I mean, I was just like, oh gosh, yes, hello, you know. And then we started chatting, and we just chatted like you and I are chatting now, like sort of old friends. And, you know, she really opened up to me about her marriage. And, you know, obviously I hadn't really had a chance to look at the charts too much, and we were looking purely at the sun signs at that point. Even the sun signs were revealing quite a lot. And then I offered to take a much deeper look at everything. I said I would write it out for her, not presuming that I would meet her. And I did that, and I sent it to her. Then she asked me to have lunch with her. And then things just really developed, which was beautiful and lovely. You know, we became super close and lasted right up until she very sadly passed away in 1997. So I was with her literally through all of those years of, you know, the years leading up to the divorce, through the divorce and post the divorce, and saw this amazing transformation that took place. I mean, so the last time I saw her, which was at the end of July in 1997, just a month before she died, I had lunch with her at Kensington Palace, and she looked incredible. She just looked completely radiant and confident. confident, and she was so excited about everything to happen in her life. But of course, a lot of people ask me, well, you know, what about seeing her death? Did you see it? But if you think about it, I'm so relieved I can't see death, because I'd know when everybody was going to die and what a terrible thing that would be. Exactly. It would just be awful, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So we don't look for death. You know, thank goodness it's not there in black and white. We were discussing other things in her life. Obviously, it was a challenging time. We were looking at the eclipse, actually, the last time I saw her, that was in very early September, which turned out to be an eclipse that was hovering around the time of her death. And we were discussing in other ways what her hopes were for the future. And in a bizarre kind of way, I'm not going to reveal exactly why, but it kind of, her wishes were fulfilled in a very strange roundabout way. It was very, very sad that she passed so young, and nobody would want to leave their children. But, you know, Diana was somebody who was very unafraid of death. Something I really noticed about her, because she worked so much with the dying. She spent so much time with people in hospices. She said she actually almost preferred being around people like this, people with trauma or people who were dying, because she said they were so real. And they had nothing left to lose. And she really resonated with them. And she always said to me, you know, Debbie, you can do so much more from up there than you can from down here. I'll never forget that.
That's such a beautiful thing
to
say.
Yeah, really it is.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. So I want to talk a little bit now about something called Saturn Returns.
Yes.
And for anyone that doesn't know, and this is my... Actually, do you know what? Why don't you explain it? Tell us about what a Saturn return is.
Well, you know, the planets in their courses, as it's called, continue to move from the minute you're born. Your birth chart is like a static thing that you have for life. And, you know, literally within 4 minutes, the ascendant has started to move 1 degree. Obviously, the moon moves super quickly. So every 2.5 days, it changes signs. And all of the planets move at different speeds and rates. And the slowest moving planet is Pluto, which actually takes 248 years to go right the way through all of the signs. So obviously, when that comes around to your chart, it's pretty much a once in a lifetime experience. So there are some things that happen and, you know, affect, will just be affecting you. But there are some things that are more generic, like a Saturn return. Saturn takes 29 years to move through the zodiac. So we know that everybody, when they're 29, when they're age 29, are going to have their Saturn return. And then you're going to have another one when you're 59. And if you're lucky, another one when you're 89. And who knows, with stem cell therapy, we might be having endless Saturn returns. But, you know, the one at 29 is very interesting, you know, because it will mark the first time that Saturn has met and connected with every single other placement in your chart. It's gone around everything and returned. What that means is returned to the place where it was when you were born. And actually, when we say at someone's birthday, many happy returns, do you know why we say that? Because the sun has returned to where it was when you were born, which takes a year, obviously.
Right.
So that's what the return is, the return of the sun. But the Saturn return is when the Saturn takes 29 years and has come back. So at 29, and I think we all realize this, that around that time, we're obviously on the threshold of 30. And there's something about entering that decade where people feel that they should be all grown up by then. They start to make very big decisions. And often really important commitments and responsibilities are taken on, like having a baby, getting married, starting a business, you know, kind of really settling down in some way. Of course, some people settle down, inverted commas, much earlier than that. And so the Saturn return can test those decisions and say, okay, is this really something you want to carry through into your adult life? Because the adult life astrologically is this middle period of 29 years, 29 to 59. So it can eliminate things that you no longer need to take with you into this period of your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, and we let go. And so it can be a time when people separate or they leave a job and you know, it's like, actually, I this isn't me. I really don't want to do this. So we get a better sense of who we really are at the Saturn return. And Saturn is the planet of karma. So, you know, it's when the karma comes in, perhaps the soulmate comes in, or, you know, something that really feels, it has that extra sense of destiny destiny or fatefulness about it. Mm-hmm. And we know that it's a serious time. We don't just flippantly, you know, kind of go into something at Saturn return. It's always a very serious choice. So how did yours feel, Roxy? Oh,
my gosh. Well, because I met you, like we said, first when I was pregnant with Wolf.
That's right.
I was 28.
Yeah.
And it was when I turned 29 that kind of, my whole life really catapulted, my career exploded. Like, well, I didn't have a career. And then at 29, I discovered it and I carved it out. And my whole life and everything, my relationship to, you know, alcohol, drugs, smoking, food, my body, everything. You know, I'm not. And you can't describe the person I am today, the person I was before. And it was exactly in line with my Saturn return. So I think it is magical.
Yes. Well, because you worked it. You see, this is the manifestation, Roxy. You know, some people feel Saturn to be, you know, some people fear Saturn. It's like, oh no, now I've got to do something really serious. It's going to be terrible. Mm. It's really boring.
Right.
But if you are open to really working it and really manifesting at that time, which you are the absolute master manifestor or the mistress of manifestation, should we say, then that Saturn return is so brilliant because it gives you the platform, which is what you created for yourself. And Saturn created the opportunity and you went for it.
I love that. I think that's such a nice way of looking at it, that there is this kind of greater force that gives us these opportunities, this energetic power, I like to call it, which for me is just the universe.
Yes.
And then we have to align our behavior and take the opportunities and ultimately shape the destiny.
Yes, because I think this sort of medieval idea that everything happens to us, you know, and we're just little puppets down here being pulled on strings by the planets, is really very limiting, isn't it? I mean, I think it's incredible to actually get hold of this concept that every choice that we make, however small it is, can, you know, ripple out with the frequency into something quite major. And we always do have a choice. We think we don't, or we get ourselves stuck. And then, you know, we can be in denial and pretend we don't have a choice, but actually we always do. It's just that, you know, we need to be brave enough to take a choice and to embrace and empower ourselves fully by recognizing who we are and what's possible for us. And that, you know, we can't change other people, of course, but we can always change ourselves.
Absolutely. Oh God, I literally, you know, we talk about energy. I can feel my vibe. I'm just so high right now talking to you. I love it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
If you like this podcast, then why not check out one of our other amazing Create podcasts? If you just want a good laugh, then check out The Weekly Roast.
Listen, bitch.
Oh, make an entrance.
I'm a week off sugar. I will fly to the UK and I will cut you both off.
For the more cultured ones among you, join Laura Wright for Music in My Life.
Yeah, let's go.
I'm so glad no one can see me right now because I was doing some weird dance moves.
Your head bopping then, yeah.
Prefer a deep chat? Connie's got you covered on How Are You, the Wellbeing Podcast.
I just became a lot more productive and happier. And for me, like, that's just worth it.
The Weekly Roast, Music in My Life, and How Are You? Just three more podcasts to feast your ears on. Find them wherever you found this podcast.
So I want to talk now. We talked a bit about Saturn return, and I think that's just such a great point, is that it is about openness and it is about people's willingness to want change. And I think you are right. There is definitely a fear around it of people not wanting to grow up and they don't want to be boring. They don't want to do that. So I totally get that. Now, I want to talk a little bit about Mercury retrograde because we hear it a lot, especially, you know, you've mentioned the Gen Z. And I mean, I see a meme about Mercury retrograde every day. You know, it's
even
always...
though Mercury isn't retrograde, thank goodness, every day.
Yeah. So what actually is it?
Well, it is actually an optical illusion. It doesn't go backwards. It's just like how I can describe it or explain it perhaps is if you've ever been in a train and you've got another train next to you and the other train starts moving and it makes you temporarily feel as if you're moving. It's like this. It's a kind of illusion that something is moving. The Mercury retrograde period, which happens every year three times for approximately 3.5 weeks, that's the absolute Mercury retrograde period. But then it has what we call a shadow. Approaching retrograde begins to slow right down and then it stands absolutely still and it pivots and it goes backwards. And on the other end of the Mercury retrograde, it stands still, pivots and goes forwards, and it takes a while to pick up speed.
Isn't it mad to think of these planets doing that?
It's like
now.
A dance. It's like they're all dancing in the heavens, right? So I think what's fascinating about the day it pivots, or we astrologers call it stations, go back to the train analogy. Oh, sorry about that ping. is that the US election twice has been called on a station of Mercury retrograde. So we astrologers are like, oh no, here we go again. Why did you do that? So there were time that it was George Bush and Al Gore. There had to be this big recount in Florida and there was all of this chaos around the counting system. And then guess what? You know, Biden and Trump, it's called on that day. And so everyone's asking me, well, gosh, you know, that's going to be a clear cut victory. Well, actually, no. Because, you know, there's so much chaos around it. And there it was. It's still going on, isn't it? Some people still dispute it. So I think that's very interesting. But what happens for all of us when Mercury goes retrograde? Again, it can get a sense of a bad reputation or it's such a difficult period, you know. And yes, there's a trickster associated with Mercury. Mercury is a very interesting planet. You know, he derives from Hermes, who is the winged messenger of the gods. And Hermes uniquely was given like a VIP pass, access all areas, right? So he could go down into the underworld. He could go up to the gods in Mount Olympus. He could go everywhere. And so Mercury kind of flies and darts around. He's associated with connection, communication, exchanges that we have to do with everything around our diaries, whether it's appointments, meetings, travel, texts and technology, face-to-face meetings and verbal communication. So when he goes retrograde, the trickster can play tricks on us. So basically, we don't get the text, or we can't find the place, or we're talking to someone and we can't really get through to them. We feel that we're misunderstood or we get the wrong end of the stick. Objects can go missing. I try not to buy clothes, for instance, on Mercury retrograde because I find it's a nightmare. Everything comes in the wrong size and, you know, the delivery is, you know, it's all of that. Yeah. And I can feel it before because when I'm driving around town, I can feel, you know, pedestrians start stepping out in the street all the time and the traffic is mad and then all the road work seem to happen. And then, you know, on trains delayed, planes, obviously. So personally for me, it's not that I won't go out of the house. I don't do that. But I definitely allow extra time for my journey. And I do avoid doing certain things. I wouldn't launch anything with a Mercury retrograde. I wouldn't plan in a big event.
Interesting. So when's the next one?
September. So we've got a free summer. Ooh. Yeah. We've just had Mercury retrograde. I just feel it doesn't mean it's an absolute no-no, but just be aware, and you've got to really pay attention to the details. Yeah. Like there can be little mistakes happen. But the plus side, it's not all about the trickster energy. Mm. Actually, what it's designed to do, the actual purpose of a Mercury retrograde is to get us to take some time out, take a bit of a breath, and to start to see things differently. And often when things are cancelled or delayed during Mercury retrograde, we can revise our thinking about something, and actually new information or a new angle can come in. We start to see it completely differently, and it turns out better than if we had just gone fast forward on the original plan. So it really can be a very creative time, and it also, I've noticed, can be an amazing time for things from the past to come back, because it's the planet of retrieval. It's a bit like the lost and found department, and you know, you suddenly find this thing that you've been looking for, the missing piece of the jigsaw, whatever it is. Yeah. You know, the bracelet you lost, or somebody gets back in touch with you, or a project that seemed as if it was, you know, on the back burner comes back to life and suddenly seems very relevant.
Amazing. I love that. And I think it's so important to also show that there are positives to
there's positives to everything. That's a very interesting point, Roxy, because I think, you know, that's one of the things that a lot of clients say to me when I'm talking about what's going on for them, and they'll go, well, is it good or bad? Yeah. And I'll go, well, hang on a minute, let's just unpick this a little bit, because nothing actually is entirely good or bad, but it's all about how we look at it. And often very good things, seemingly in inverted commas, turn out to have a backlash, or they turn out to be disappointing. And sometimes the very worst things that happen to us, actually, with hindsight, we're so glad they happened, because it would mean that we would never have experienced X, Y, and Z, or learned something. So these challenges, it's a myth that everything all has to be absolutely good and lovely all the time. And we all know real life isn't like that.
100%.
Yes.
No, that's exactly why I started this podcast, really, is to show people that it's often those times when we think everything's going wrong that it is, in fact, all going right. And I'm totally, and I think, you know, when I think about manifesting, really so much of that, you know, I think it's a myth that it's about control. Really, it's about surrender. It's about letting go, and about allowing divine timing to happen in its own time, and being able to ride the waves of the highs and the lows with greater ease.
Yes.
And that's the magic of it, really. It's just being able to flow through life.
And I think, you know, you've got such a great perception and take on it, Roxy, because I think some people get very disappointed with the law of attraction and manifestation, because they sort of think that what they should be able to do is write down a list of what they want. And then when it doesn't come, they're very upset and disappointed and angry with the universe. Like, I've written this out and why isn't it here? But the universe isn't Amazon Prime, is it? No.
Oh my God. Yes, I love that. I love the idea of surrender. Oh my God, I feel like we're covering so much. I'm just like...
Yes, surrender is so important. But it has to be coupled also with intention and this idea of being able to make choices, but also aligning with divine time. You know, there is a timing to things when the timing is right. And I talk about this a lot in my book, the new one, What's Your Soul Sign, about kind of like the clash really between the ego and the soul, because our egos can, you know, really keep us constantly in that state of wanting this, that, and the other. And as soon as we get that, then we want something else. So we never feel satisfied. But I think if we surrender to the soul and think more along the lines of, you know, well, it, you know, if the soul intended for this, it intended for this to happen, I am open, I'm in the right place, I surrender to divine timing. That's a better way than just coming from the ego, because this life is not all about attaining everything your little small ego wants, which actually tends to make us very unhappy in the grand scheme of things. And true happiness is when we're absolutely okay and we are surrendered. That is a kind of peaceful, rather than being in this desire state of constantly wanting stuff, you know.
I could not agree more. And for me, over the last few months, I've been sinking so much into this peaceful place. And really, it was like having this epiphany of just going, no, I don't want more. That isn't the answer. Everything is here already.
Absolutely.
And it's such an incredible feeling.
Isn't it wonderful? Yeah. That's the biggest gift ever.
It really is.
We have to keep reminding ourselves because, of course, we get tripped back. Everybody, each one of us gets tripped back into, you know, we live in the Western world and it's all this consumer society and it's so easy to think we'll be happier if we have X, Y or Z. And yet we all know, I mean, in my work, I work with all sorts of different people, but I do have some extremely high net worth clients and, you know, I would say it does not guarantee any level of peace or happiness. No,
definitely not. So I thought we could talk a little bit about soulmates.
Yes.
Because often people will look, let's say they get into a new relationship. I think one of the things that, especially, and not to generalize, but us women will do is ask, what's your star sign? What's mine? And we go on Google and we try and see, are we compatible with our sign? So I want to ask a little bit about sign compatibility and then this idea of soulmates. And is there one? Is there more than one?
Yeah.
What is a soulmate? Yeah, let's talk about this.
Fascinating topic, isn't it? It's fantastic. Well, compatibility, I think it's very interesting because compatibility is almost different from the idea of being a soulmate. That's what I feel about it. Right. So compatibility, astrological compatibility, let's just break it down. I mean, technically, the elements, if you are a fire sign, which of course is Aries, Leo, Sagittarius, then you would be compatible with someone from your own element, that's your tribe, or from the element of air, which is Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius, because air and fire kind of make hot air and they're full of ideas. This is more the yang energy. It's very extrovert. It's people that want to do things together. They spark each other up. It's a very bubbly combination. So if you're a water sign, Cancer, Scorpio, Pisces, obviously with each other is great, or with Earth, which is Taurus, Virgo, Capricorn. Now you can say, well, water and Earth makes mud, but actually I look at it another way, that Earth is a really fantastic container for water and it's very grounding and, you know, it's more of the yin energy. So they anchor each other and give kind of emotional meaning to each other's lives. So in a very sort of basic level, but that's almost like sun sign astrology, horoscopes we were talking about earlier. It doesn't always work because, you know, I am looking at the complete chart. I'm looking and, you know, you might be a Leo, but you might have so many other planets in Virgo, or, you know, there could be all sorts of mitigating factors, which mean that you're not really so much of a through and through true Leo as another person that has five planets in Leo, right? So you need to kind of go a little bit deeper. And for instance, the moon is super important. And I talk a lot about this in my book in terms of the compatibility, because let's face it, especially in COVID, everyone's breaking up all over the place because they suddenly have to lock down with people and never had to be with someone for such extended periods of time. And the moon is what you're like at home. So, you know, you can be very compatible with everyone if you're going out to restaurants all the time and you're out or you're, you know, mixing with everyone else. Get people home. You want to make sure your moons are compatible.
Do you know, that's so, I always say to people, because when people break up and they say in the beginning, it was so good. I said, yeah, of course it's good in the beginning. You're going out, you're on holidays. You're, of course it's good.
Yeah,
it's only later, like you say, when you are at home and in that environment that you really understand how the relationship fits together.
Yeah.
Out of interest,
yes,
I'm desperate
to
know.
Your moon is in Scorpio and it's close to the big Scorpio ruling planet, which is Pluto. So you have a super intense Scorpio vibration to you, Roxy. So you can be a Leo out there in the world, but get you home. You know, you're more private. You actually have this private side to you and, you know, you like to be, you have a sort of passionate connection to your home as well. And you may not want all and sundry through the doors. You know, it's a very important space for you. It's quite a sacred space for you. And, you know, there's something much more sort of deep and meaningful about you when we get you home, because you're so busy in the performing expressive world out there as a Leo. of course, get you home. And yeah, you want to do the deep and meaningful.
Incredible.
So yeah, it's quite interesting. So the moon is really something you need to look at for compatibility.
So would your like, let's say I'm a, or whatever anyone's is. So let's say I'm a Scorpio moon. Am I looking then for a compatible moon?
Yes.
And it's yes. Sign.
Yeah, that is ideal. But also don't forget opposites attract.
Right.
So your Taurus moon person might be very nice for you. The other thing in traditional astrology, and we're getting complicated, but it's nice just to know little.
Anyone
can
this.
Use this. Anyone can grab hold of this. Is that traditionally, if the man's sun and the woman's moon are opposite to each other, that is a very traditional indicator of compatibility. Mm. For instance, you know, Kate and William. Mm. So he's a sun sign Cancer. She's a moon sign Cancer. She is a sun sign Capricorn with the moon in Cancer. She was born in a full moon.
Yeah.
Opposite to his sun and moon in Cancer. That is a real double whammy of the opposites attracting, the Cancer Capricorn thing, but also she has moon in Cancer, which resonates with his sun and moon in Cancer. Do you see what I mean?
Wow,
what an amazing
yeah.
magnetic connection that is.
Oh, I love that.
So yeah, that can be like really amazing. So there's the moon, and then, you know, for communication, obviously we'd look at Mercury, because I mean, it's really interesting. You know, sometimes we like someone a lot, but we find that when we start talking to them, it's difficult to get through to them. And that might be because our Mercuries are incompatible, or we just don't really enjoy talking about the same things, or it's about what we're interested in. Maybe we're not interested in the same things. It's of no importance. Then Venus, of course, it's super important for compatibility, because Venus is the goddess of love. So she's not just about who we love, but everything that we love in life. So it's about our personal taste, even. It's about what we would choose to give someone as a gift, because for us that's beautiful. It's about what looks beautiful to us. It's our aesthetics, our taste, and how we give love as well. So I'm just looking for you, Roxy. You have Venus in Cancer, so that is a very empathetic Venus. You like to take care of people. That's how you show your love.
Yeah.
You know, you love to be really close. This is a real desire for intimacy. And with the moon in Scorpio, a real desire for passion. But the moon in, the Venus in Cancer is about, you know, just adoring being a mother, for instance, you know, all that has sort of really ticked your box. The Venus, obviously, we have to understand, well, where's the other person's Venus? Because, you know, people complain that, you know, well, you never buy me flowers, you never compliment me, but that person maybe has, you know, Venus in Aquarius. They don't care about that. They're right. More about cerebral connection.
Right.
Okay. So understanding where that person's Venus is can help to help us to understand really where they're coming from and what makes them tick and what their driving force for love is, what their love attraction factor is what I call it in my book.
This is fascinating. I had no idea about Venus or Mercury in terms of compatibility.
Mm.
So this is incredible. So if somebody wanted to go and find out where all their kind of moons and Venuses work, can they do,
they can go to my website, debbiefrank.com/chart, you see,
and we can put in our partners,
yes, put everything in, and then, you know, obviously if you have my book, you can look up and see exactly what all those different things mean.
This is incredible.
You know, so you can really see instantly. And that's how I've written it, so that you can really see and get a handle on everything that I've studied and learned with amazing people over my entire career, decades of it, and all the clients I've worked with who have taught me more than anything.
Oh my God,
anybody.
Debbie, what an amazing
asset. So, you know, I've been
have.
Able to condense a lot of it and write things that are very meaningful, not just rubbish that you read.
Yeah.
You know, this is really meaningful stuff that will resonate with you. So let's get on to the soulmate side, because, you know, obviously my book is about the soul sign. So it's not just about, you know, the personality level. It's very interesting to understand our personality level, but we want to understand our soul.
Mm.
And soulmates, what are they? And then people talk about twin flames, you know, what are they? So a soulmate, I think there is a lot of misconception about what a soulmate is, you know, as if there's only one person. And then if we don't meet them, that's it. We've had it. You know, when actually I think a soulmate can also be, I believe in soul tribes and soul connections of all sorts. So I think we can be definitely making soul connections with our friends, obviously with our family, between parents and children. It's amazing, can be. And if we're lucky, yeah, in love as well. Now, the first chapter of my book, Unusually, talks about the nodes, which is a very little known area in the chart, the North Node and the South Node, which are always opposite to each other. So yours, Roxy, your North Node is in Aquarius, which means your South Node is in Leo. What are the nodes? Well, kind of mathematically calculated points in time that are calculated from the moon. So the diagram that you'll get when you get your chart done shows you where it is. And the North Node is associated with why you're here and what you're supposed to be doing in this lifetime. The South Node tells you what you've already got in your bank karmically from other incarnations.
Right.
And I believe that these nodal connections, they're called, and they look like little headphones in the chart. When that touches another person's planets, then you know immediately that that is a soul connection and you feel it. So I work a lot with these and, you know, I see it time and time again. You can pick up people's charts and, you know, if they do not have this soul connection with the nodes, then, you know, you might be very compatible on many levels, but, you know, it's not really going to go the distance, or it's not really got that sense about it where you know it's something just so deep and special.
Wow.
Yeah. It's really, really super interesting.
I had never heard of that before.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Well, in Indian astrology, they work a lot with that. It's called Ketu and Rahu, these North Nodes and South Nodes. But yeah, I mean, there it is. It's there, there in plain sight, and we can definitely look to see. And, you know, I've noticed through, you know, all the years and looking at all these charts at how important that really is. And that often we can be, we can feel a bit incompatible with someone because obviously there's going to be some areas that we don't get everything compatible. But if the soul connection is there, we understand that. We're like, yeah, that person, he drives me crazy, but I know we're meant to be together. It's that.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
So you would need to have both charts read together to see that.
Yeah, you'd need to have, you'd need to know where that person's planets are, where their north nodes are, so you can see whether they connect with yours. But nearly always with people that have these long, strong relationships, this nodal connection is there. And very, very often between parents and children, I've noticed.
Aww,
it's very, very beautiful.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. And I love the phrase you use, soul tribes.
Yes.
I think that's so beautiful. And you're right. There are, we can have so many soulmates and they're friends.
Yes.
And children.
And I have a lot of soul sisters. I call them my soul sisters. You know, because you know that you just share on this level and there's this real love between you, isn't there?
Absolutely.
So finding your soul tribe is really important. And I think I always encourage people to find their soul tribe, which you know when you found them, you know, because you just feel completely at home.
Yeah, I love that. And what is a twin flame?
Well, a twin flame, again, is often not met in any, very rare, not met often in a lifetime. And it's your one and only through all incarnations. And,
right,
you know, I think it's something that I can't necessarily find. There isn't a significator for it in the chart. I think we should be looking for the soul connection,
right?
Because that way we can find it.
Amazing. Oh my god, Debbie, I honestly, I feel like I could literally sit and talk to you all day. It's actually insane. I feel there's so much I want to say, but I'm gonna have to bring you back again.
Oh, I love to come.
Because you are just incredible. And I think that is so wonderful that people can come to the website, they can get their charts so they know where everything is. That's amazing. And then they can read all about it in the book. I mean, what an incredible gift to the world.
Yeah, well, I think for me, I mean, when I first had my chart done, and in those days, you know, somebody had to do it for you, it was just so revelatory and just such a big epiphany to find out all these different parts of yourself. Mm. I mean, I'm very, very much water all the way through my chart.
Oh, really?
And I don't have any air in my chart. I'm all water, Scorpio, Cancer, with Leo rising. So yeah.
Oh.
So I'm very connected to you. So you're Leo with Scorpio.
Yeah.
And
I love that. That's so nice. Because we really, it is such a natural connection, isn't it?
Yeah.
Every time we speak, absolutely. Like,
well, there you go. That's it.
Oh, Debbie, thank you so much.
Honestly.
Oh my God, what an episode. And I'm sure everybody would have absolutely loved listening to that. Now, has your Instagram handle changed?
Yes. So it's Debbie Frank Astrologer.
Perfect.
Yes.
That's on Instagram and DebbieFrank.com.
DebbieFrank.com.
And the books, What's Your Soul Sign? And Written in the Stars is your...
Yeah, that's right.
Your previous book.
Yes.
Thank you so
thank
much,
Thank you
Debbie.
So much. I've
thank
loved
you.
Every second.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.